leaned her forehead tenderly against his chest.
That's enough now, Uva. No more letters. There's no space for life with all these letters of yours.
And she looked up, softly caressed his cheek, and smiled.
It's enough now, my darling Uva.
And then it was enough. The next morning, Uva got up at dawn, drove the sob to her school, and with his own bare hands built the disabled ramp the council was refusing to put up. And after that, she came home every evening for as long as Uva could remember and told him, with fire in her eyes, about her boys and girls, the ones who arrived in the classroom with police escorts, yet when they left could recite 400-year-old poetry, the ones who could make her cry and laugh and sing until her voice was bouncing off the ceilings of their little house. Uva could never make head nor tail of those impossible kids, but he was not beyond liking them for what they did to Sonia. Every human being needs to know what she's fighting for, that was what she said. And she fought for what was good, for the children she never had, and Uva fought for her. Because that was the only thing in this world he really knew. Chapter 24, A Man Called Uva and a Brat Who Draws in Color. The Saab is so full of people when Uva drives away from the hospital that he keeps checking the fuel gauge, as if he's afraid that it's going to break into a scornful dance. In his rearview mirror, he sees Parvina, unconcernedly, giving the 3-year-old paper and color crayons. Does she have to do that in the car? Barks Uva.
Would you rather have her restless so she starts wondering how to pull the upholstery off of the seats?
Parvina says calmly. Uva doesn't answer, just looks at the 3-year-old in his mirror. She's shaking a big purple crayon at the cat in Parvina's lap and yelling, "Drawing!" The cat observes the child with great caution, clearly reluctant to make itself available as a decorative surface. Patrick sits between them, turning and twisting his body to try to find a comfortable position for his leg cast, which he's wedged up on the armrest between the front seats. It's not easy, because he's doing his best not to dislodge the newspapers that Uva has placed both on his seat and under the cast.
Our time is up for the day. I hope you will join me next time when we continue with A Man Called Uva by Frederick Bachman. This has been Michael Guthrie for GARS, the Georgia Radio Reading Service. Thank you for listening.
That's all the time we have. Thank you for joining us for the Noon Book Hour. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow for our next installment from the Recording Library of West Texas.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, Eyes on Success, followed by Men's Health Magazine at 1:30.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 49 and mostly cloudy. Tonight it will be cloudy with a low in the mid-40s. Then tomorrow clear with a high in the upper 60s. Tomorrow night mostly cloudy with a low in the mid-50s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 1 p.m.
Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program covering a wide variety of topics of interest to people with vision loss. I'm Nancy Goodman Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
The long-term goal is being able to use this app to effectively get information about your environment no matter where you are. Being able to navigate, and then Super LiDAR will show you how to get there. I'm so passionate about this because it really would change the way that I as a blind person and we as a blind community would navigate. It would be amazing.
And our guest today is working with a company who is taking advantage of some of the new technologies that are starting to be offered in smart devices to help assist the visually impaired.
We'll speak with Shane Lowe from SuperSense about their new Super LiDAR app, how it makes use of LiDAR to analyze distances and warn about obstacles that might pose a danger to blind and low vision users. But first, for our tip of the week, this week's tip comes from Shane Lowe.
So another cool thing that you can do, a little hack way of using Super LiDAR, is you can use it to assess distances between you and other people for social distancing. That also works if you're following someone. So if you're standing in line, you can follow someone in front of you. And that is super convenient because you no longer have to assault them, you know, with the cane. That's really helpful. You can follow people, you know, down a sidewalk or on a path, and it works really well. We're also adding some like extra extended support for that to make it more formal. So it's a really cool way to be able to take advantage of that person detection as well as social distancing.
And that's a great application. When I think of using my cane, it certainly gets me around and I can listen to people, but sometimes in a crowd, some people are quiet, you don't hear them, and you can find the people, but if you have to smash their ankles with your cane, it makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, sometimes it's kind of invigorating to be able to beat people up, but, you know, it also doesn't make you many friends.
No.
At least this way, you're able to choose, you know, you're able to choose based on how you're feeling if you want to commit any crimes today.
And as the show goes on, we will learn many, many ways in which Super LiDAR can come in handy.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
NaviLens, a four-color QR code designed to be located and read from up to 60 feet away without the need to focus on it. Personal places and items can be tagged and shared with family and friends with codes obtained inside the NaviLens app, available for iPhone and Android. More information is at NaviLens.com.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success.
Let's start by meeting Shane and getting a brief overview of SuperSense, the app we talked with him about the last time he was on the show in January.
Shane, you've been with us before on Eyes on Success, but to remind our listeners who may not have heard you, maybe you can introduce yourself once again.
Thank you so much, guys, for having me on a second time. I guess you didn't learn your lesson. I appreciate it. I am Shane Lowe. I'm Community Operations Manager at Mediate. I have a life outside of work in my dreams. When I'm dreaming, I do a lot of percussion stuff. I'm a percussionist. I'm an amateur audio engineer for live music, which is a ton of fun. I love reading. I run a streaming platform on the side. So I have my hands on a lot of pies. I never get bored.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
It is.
Last time you were on Eyes on Success, we interviewed you about one of your apps called SuperSense, and I thought maybe you could tell us a little bit about that, but we're really here to talk about another app that you recently released. But let's talk about SuperSense first.
So the backstory, and they do relate a little bit, actually, because SuperSense, the goal of SuperSense is to be the most efficient, most effective scanning OCR kind of app there is, you know. So we have the barcodes, the currency, the document reader, and I really love SuperSense. It has a really wide array of features that all work really well for me. They're very effective, and of course, the main thing about this company that I work for, that I love so much, just as a consumer, as a person with kind of a business mindset, is that they really focus on the people. They really focus on the customer and what the needs of the customer are. And that's really important to me as a consumer, you know, as a person who votes with the money that I spend.
And you actually use this technology that's designed for people with vision loss.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm completely blind as well. So I use SuperSense all the time. And I really do actually recommend it to, you know, my friends. To people they don't pay me to recommend it to. But the thing is that SuperSense started as a very rudimentary exploration app. You know, it has now the Object Explorer screen, and that's what we started with in the very first versions of SuperSense. It had the Explore mode that would identify, you know, 600 different objects around the user, you know, in your area. And it has the Find mode that lets you pick a specific category, whether that be people, doorways, chairs, and searches for those specific things only. And so that's kind of the very basic part of Super LiDAR as well.
And that's the app that we'll be talking about in just a moment.
All right.
Eyes on Success is made possible in part by our corporate partners. Underwriting pairs the impact of targeted marketing with the integrity of community goodwill.
Learn more by sending an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is the recently released Super LiDAR app and how it helps people with vision loss detect and avoid objects.
In the introduction, you mentioned your new app called Super LiDAR. But before we talk about the app itself, people have heard the term LiDAR but may not be familiar with what it is and where it's currently being used. Maybe you could give us a heads up on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So LiDAR is actually pretty old technology. It came out in the 1960s. You may remember that Elton John also came out in the 1960s.
That was a while ago.
Just a little bit. One of Elton's on his farewell tour now, by the way. That's a tragedy. I'm an Elton John fan. But fortunately, LiDAR is not on its farewell tour because it was just recently incorporated into the latest run of Apple devices, so the iPhone 12 Pro, the 12 Pro Max, and the iPad Pro. And essentially what LiDAR does is it uses light waves to assess depth to get information about a space, an environment that you're in.
And probably the biggest use for it these days is in some of those auto-driving cars. That's where people may have heard about it more recently.
Absolutely, that's very true, yeah. It's using that technology to assess distances, I believe, to make sure that the vehicle that's using the LiDAR technology isn't in proximity to anything else.
And now that that technology has become inexpensive enough to be put into some of the high-end newer iPhones, you found a way of taking advantage of that technology to make your new app.
Exactly.
So tell us a little bit about what kinds of functions this app will perform with the LiDAR technology.
Yeah, absolutely. So Super LiDAR depends completely on LiDAR technology, so only a device with a LiDAR sensor is going to be compatible with Super LiDAR. And what it does is, right now it's obstacle-based, so it focuses on obstacles or objects in your area. And when you launch Super LiDAR, you know, assuming the area is completely open and it doesn't see any obstacle, then it'll just give you these three soft kind of beeps just to let you know that it's working. And one of the things I really love about the new, you know, the iPhone 12 Pro and the camera field is unbelievable. So it can see about 4 feet square. So it can see off to the sides. It can see up, you know, above your head if you're holding it at chest level, but also down where the cane of the guide dog is working. And it can see usually about 15 feet out. So as you're walking and you're getting closer to an object, it doesn't have to be an obstacle, but any kind of object that Super LiDAR will pick up, it starts to play a pitch, and that pitch starts out high and then gets lower as you get closer to the obstacle. And if we're currently working on adding the Super Sense object detection in there, so as we add that, it'll recognize more and more objects. Currently it recognizes about 15 different things. One of those being people, by the way, and whether or not they have a mask on. And it will also report distances of those objects in addition to, you know, the pitch descending. And then also, when you get particularly close, the phone will start vibrating, and then it will vibrate faster in your hand, you know, the closer you get to it.
So you get two types of feedback, both the auditory feedback and some tactile feedback.
Yes, and the haptic, too, when you get close.
And what kind of information does it transmit to you? You know, if it recognizes a wall versus a person, that's two different things. You might want to do two different actions.
It will tell you if it sees a person. It won't tell you wall specifically, but as you're getting closer to that wall, the pitch will descend and the phone will vibrate faster in your hand. This is also the perfect time to mention that your own senses, as well as like the cane and the guide dog, are still the first line of defense. So Super LiDAR gives you extra information about the space that you're in on top of your own sensory input that you're getting.
And what kinds of things does it say?
So it'll tell you, like, person in 6 feet, for example, if they don't have a mask. If they do, then it'll tell you person wearing a mask, and it'll give you the distance there as well. So it says as little as possible, that we try to keep most of the information audible from the pitch or in the haptic feedback, because we want it to be as little processing necessary in the brain as possible. You know, if you're navigating a crowded area or if you're walking and talking to someone, you know, you don't want to be listening to a voice as much as you want to be kind of navigating naturally. So it's almost like a gaming kind of experience in a way.
Yeah, you certainly don't want the feedback from the app to overwhelm your other senses as you're navigating around and thinking about other things. But if it can give you some information to give you a little bit of guidance, additionally to your cane and or your dog, that's very helpful.
Exactly. That's the goal there.
And just to be clear, so people understand the difference between the object recognition in your original SuperSense app that you've had out for some time and this app, the Super LiDAR app, is that with the LiDAR technology enabled, not only can you recognize the object, but the LiDAR will tell a person how far that object is away. And that wasn't possible before without the LiDAR technology.
Absolutely, yeah. The iPhone cameras were just never able to assess distance very accurately. So the LiDAR is perfect for that distance assessment. Also, now would be a good time to point out another difference between SuperSense and Super LiDAR, which is that Super LiDAR is completely free as well. I said, I believe the last time I was here, we ask for money for SuperSense because it's so universal and it helps us pay for a lot of the research. You know, we're trying to solve problems that are difficult to solve, and other companies haven't solved them because they're difficult to solve, which means they're also expensive to solve. So that funding helps us pay for our research, which in this case has manifested into Super LiDAR.
And currently these are two distinct apps, correct?
Yes, two different apps.
Have you used the Super LiDAR app yourself? I would guess you have.
I have, yeah. I've used the first prototype. I actually haven't used the version that's on the App Store, the version that we released. Fun fact, because I don't have an iPhone 12 Pro, I don't have any LiDAR-compatible device, but I have used the app when we were testing it before we released it.
And in what kind of application were you able to test it?
Yeah, so I used it walking through an office building. So I was going down corridors, I was going, you know, through doorways, up and down staircases, just traveling around, getting a sense of how it worked. And what was really cool about it was it really did work kind of the way that I describe it. So it augments the senses that I'm using when I travel. So I am a cane user and I use echolocation. So when I'm navigating with Super LiDAR, it gives me the feedback about what I'm detecting with echolocation, for example. So I can hear that a wall is coming up in front of me, and it's also giving me concurrent feedback indicating how close it is. On the other hand, there was a table at about my waist level. And if you're familiar with echolocation, you know, you're not going to be able to echolocate something at waist level very well unless your head is angled a certain way, and mine happened to not be. And Super LiDAR picked up that, you know, that I was coming toward an object, and I searched for it with the cane and found that table. And it was at the perfect height that if I wasn't looking for it, my cane would have slid right under it or right past it, and it would have just clipped my side.
I'm sure many of us have had that happen.
Exactly, yeah. It wouldn't have been fun. I would have been okay, but it saved me in that particular case from having a slight bruise there, you know, because I walk pretty quickly. I usually have a purpose when I'm going somewhere, when I'm upright, as it were. So that's what it kind of hit me like. This thing really does expand on my senses. That's really cool.
So you mentioned that you use echolocation, which generically would be like human sonar.
Yes.
But people use that term to mean a variety of different things. What kind of techniques do you use?
Yeah, so just as a basic framework, I'll try to give you an example. So if I were to clap in this room, you can hear a little bit of echo in my background from that clap. You know, you hear a little bit of ambience. You know, this, you know, it's not in tremendous quality, so it's not like you could tell where the walls are, you know. I've met some really talented people, actually, who can tell me, based on the ambient echo that they hear from speech, for example, what kind of floors and where, like, what kind of walls. Like, they can obtain this incredible amount of information from this ambient echo. But that's the basis of echolocation. So as I get closer to something, I'm able to, sometimes I will, like, click, kind of like a kind of sound. I usually try not to do that when I'm with, you know, around, like, the general public. Sometimes I will if I need that extra feedback about something at my head level, but most of that is going to come from either my footsteps themselves or my cane kind of going across the ground, or I'll tap it once or twice to get kind of a general sense of what's around. And that's usually enough for my use of echolocation.
Well, and as you pointed out, some people are very good at echolocation. They've probably trained to get very precise with it. But for most of us, it more or less gives just a general sense of some distant object or some object coming closer. But certainly getting the additional feedback from something like Super LiDAR gives you a lot more precise information.
Absolutely. That's been my experience for sure.
Now, you mentioned that you use the Super LiDAR to find a desk that you might not have found otherwise. Will it similarly find overhead objects that might nail you in the head when you're using a cane?
Yes, yeah, I can see up there. I can see up that high for, you know, tree branches that might hit your head or something like that. Especially, you know, I held it at chest level, so I can definitely see up that high.
And you said you held it at chest level. Were you actually holding it in one hand as you were caning with the other, or did you have it on some kind of lanyard?
Yes, I was holding it. We're looking into a good, like, way to mount the phone or, like, put it in a pouch and, like, on a lanyard or something like that. I'm still looking into, you know, the perfect one that we can recommend, because a lot of people have mentioned wanting to do that, and it's, you know, it's a really good idea because you're not going to be able to use your cane, carry groceries, and use Super LiDAR very effectively.
Right, right. Well, and often I like to have a free hand to tell that I'm near a wall or near a table, for example. And, you know, it's helpful.
Sure, absolutely. Or just, you know, if you're walking with your partner, you know, you just want to have a free hand in general. It's never a bad idea to have a free hand. So, you know, you're always looking for ways to optimize that experience. So we're trying to look for now good ways to have the phone be useful, you know, still giving you the Super LiDAR information, but without you having to hold it.
So it sounds like this Super LiDAR app relies on using an awful lot of smarts. Is that all internal to the phone, or is it going up to the cloud for some of this recognition capability and stuff?
All of that is happening in the phone. Some of the more complex recognition stuff goes up to the cloud, but less and less of that is happening as we're optimizing the AI. You know, we want it to be, LiDAR is almost instantaneous. It's really fast. So the less cloud involvement that we have, the better. So most of that's happening on the device.
And also, people aren't always connected to the internet, depending on where they are and how they're traveling.
Absolutely. Exactly. And we want this to be, you know, the long-term goal here is to have a universal system to get information. You know, we want this to have no limits, no restrictions, you know, based on where you are. So we want this to be anywhere you go, inside or outside, any state, any country, that it will work.
Now, you mentioned that you tested out an early version of the app, and you've mentioned some enhancements that were added afterwards. What do you see as the future of this app? Where is it headed?
Yeah, that's exactly it, man. The long-term goal is being able to use this app to effectively get information about your environment no matter where you are. Right now, we're adding stuff on kind of a more fundamental level. So being able to tell whether staircases go up or down, some settings to change the pitch options so that it's not so high or not so difficult to process for certain people, adding new ways for information to be consumed and new information that it's going to give to the user. From there, we can expand outward to, you know, something like, how can we give people GPS directions to a location and then use LiDAR to help them the rest of the way to the door, because the GPS has that roughly 30 feet accuracy.
Right, you don't get very close to your target with GPS.
Right, right. GPS has that like 30-foot window of accuracy or something like that, so you want to have something that's really precise take you the last 30. So, you know, it's these kinds of methods, being able to navigate inside and say, you know, where's the reception desk? And then Super LiDAR will show you how to get there based on what it sees and what information it's gathered. So, you know, these are the long-term kinds of projects that we'd love to see. I'm so passionate about this because it really would change the way that I as a blind person and we as a blind community would navigate. It would be amazing.
So it sounds like basically you put together the first iteration of this app and you want to make sure you have a solid foundation from which to grow the app into other applications to see what's needed, what people like, and how it all works.
Exactly, and that's why we're, you know, chatting with users all the time. You know, you can request a call in Super LiDAR just like you can with Super Sense, and we'll have a conversation because we are building this just like we did with Super Sense, with user feedback completely guiding what we do. With Super Sense, we started with zero users. You know, we started from nothing. With Super LiDAR, I mean, we started Super LiDAR after we had connections with more than 50,000 people on Super Sense.
Wow.
So we have an amazing group of people that have just jumped right into Super LiDAR off the back of Super Sense. So we're making so many more informed leaps already with Super LiDAR and the development and how we're going to move forward. I'm really excited about it.
You mentioned that the Super Sense app was a subscription app and this new Super LiDAR app was free for now. Do you think that will remain being free?
I really think that we will keep Super LiDAR free as long as we can. And then what'll happen is if we have to scale Super LiDAR up into some kind of paid model, what we have and what we develop before it becomes paid will still probably be there, so that you'll be able to use everything we've developed up to that point. You know, if we have some really advanced thing that we've created that takes a ton of research and development that's really expensive, we may have to ask for some kind of payment on that. But the goal is to keep as much of it free as possible.
Well, and I guess right now, since LiDAR is only on the high-end iPhone 12s, you have to really wait until that technology is integrated into more phones that more people will have before it becomes really popular and takes off. But that'll come eventually.
Of course. It's true, yeah. More people are going to be phasing in. You know, as more iPhones come out with LiDAR sensors, more people are going to be phasing into this LiDAR-equipped technology. It's going to be really cool to see the number of users that we have going up. Because, you know, I'm one of those people, you know, I love this kind of technology, but I don't really watch, you know, events like the WWDC all the time. I kind of get the cliff notes from friends. But this is something that we're going to see every year, every Worldwide Developer Conference. We're going to see more people jumping into Super LiDAR as they upgrade their phones to LiDAR-equipped devices. And that's just going to be really cool to me.
Well, and it's really exciting to see that as these new technologies are coming along and getting less and less expensive, that developers like you are taking advantage of these new technologies to assist the blind in many different ways.
Thanks so much. I appreciate that. I have to give all the programming credit to our developer team. Those guys are amazing. We've got a lot of friends in Turkey that handle the development, that have worked with us for a really long time. So we really appreciate those guys. They make the incredible products that we get to talk about. So we handle the feedback and collect the information and work with those guys to make it happen.
Well, kudos to the whole team.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You are listening to Ithon Success. 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 Success.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about both the Super LiDAR and Super Sense apps and how to contact the team that created them.
If people want to find out more about the Super LiDAR app and the Super Sense app and your company, where would you send them?
Please go to our website, supersense.app. It has info on SuperSense and Super LiDAR. We have a great blog there as well, lots of informative stuff. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook, Supersense AI. You can interact with us there. Subscribe to the newsletter on our website. You will get lots of informative stuff there about both apps you'll really want to see. And also, if you want to help other people be exposed to Supersense and Super LiDAR, and you enjoy the app and you want more people to be able to experience it, please rate it and review it on the App Store. We'd really appreciate that. It helps spread the word.
And these apps currently are only available for iOS devices, is that correct?
Super LiDAR is on iOS only, but Supersense is iOS and Android.
Oh, so people can try it out. And as you mentioned, from within the apps, there's very easy ways to provide feedback and ask questions.
Absolutely, yeah. That's, as I say, you know, that's what drives our development process, is the ideas that we get from users. So you can request a call within the menu for Supersense and Super LiDAR. You can also send us feedback by email through both apps. So we'd love to hear from you.
And if you do not yet have the app, is there a mechanism for submitting a question or comment?
Yeah, absolutely. You can send us an email, info@mediate.tech. You can do that from the website. You can contact us from there as well.
Can you spell that?
Yep, it's info@mediate.tech.
And of course, you can find all that information in the show notes associated with this episode at our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. And remember, we now have a YouTube channel, so check it out and please subscribe. If we get just a few more subscribers, we can actually get Eyes on Success in the URL.
That's it for show number 2116. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking with John Robert Wiltkin. The first we ever heard of him was when we received a mail note titled, "Who Wants to Hire a Blind Interior Designer?" Well, the answer turned out to be a lot of people. John Wiltkin had a very long and successful career, and we will talk with him about how he worked around his visual impairment and about some of the other challenges he needed to overcome.
We hope you'll join us next week for that episode.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpy and Peter Torpy, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening and have a nice day.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, Men's Health Magazine, followed by USA Today at 2.
This is a Recording Library of West Texas Community Update.
Highland United Methodist Church, 1808 North Dixie, and volunteers offer a backdoor blessing meal at 6 p.m. Wednesdays in the Fellowship Hall. There is no charge. Any donations contributed go toward Highland's Children's Ministries. Call 332-0261 or email highlandumc.odessa@gmail.com or visit highlandodessa.com.
This week on the Recording Library of West Texas Radio's Saturday Night Movie, we continue our series of Oscar-winning films. For the last several weeks, we've selected one audio-described movie from each decade leading up to this year's Academy Awards broadcast on April 25th. Saturday, we present the 2012 film awarded Best Picture, Argo. This historical drama was directed by, produced by, and starred Ben Affleck. It also starred Bryan Cranston, Alan Arkin, and John Goodman. In addition to Best Picture, it also earned Best Adapted Screenplay and Best Film Editing honors. In all, Argo received 7 Academy Award nominations.
Actions of Iran have shocked the civilized world.
Go, spread everything.
Our embassy has been seized and more than 60 American citizens continue to be held as hostages.
If we're going to go, then we need to go now.
What happened?
6 of the hostages went out a back exit.
Where are they?
The Canadian ambassador's house.
We got Revolutionary Guards going door to door.
These people die.
They die badly.
White House?
Who wants the six of them out?
What we like for this are bicycles.
Deliver the six bikes, provide them with maps.
Or you could just send in training wheels and meet them at the border with Gatorade.
It's gonna take a miracle to get them out.
Hey, man. What are we watching?
I got an idea.
They're a Canadian film crew for a science fiction movie.
I fly into Tehran. We all fly out together as a film crew.
I need you to help me make a fake movie.
So you want to come to Hollywood and act like a big shot without actually doing anything?
Yeah.
You'll fit right in. You need a script?
Argo. Science, fantasy, adventure. Moonscape, Mars, desert. You need an exotic location to shoot.
You need a producer.
If I'm doing a fake movie, it's going to be a fake hit.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir. By far. You have 72 hours to get them out.
They're getting a visitor.
Have you gotten people out this way before?
No. They're asking us to trust you with our lives.
This is what I do, and I've never left anyone behind.
I know who they are, and they know they're hiding out.
It's over, Tony.
If they stay here, they will be taken. Probably not alive.
We're responsible for these people.
I'm responsible.
You really believe your little story is going to make a difference when there's a gun to our heads?
I think my little story is the only thing between you and a gun to your head.
The 2012 winner for Best Picture, Argo. Audio described. Saturday night at 7 on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 49 and mostly cloudy. Tonight it will be cloudy with a low in the mid-40s. Then tomorrow clear with a high in the upper 60s. Tomorrow night mostly cloudy with a low in the mid-50s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas.
This program is made available to the IAAIS program share and was recorded at the audio reading service of the Ellen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana, for people with print impairments.
Welcome. This is Healthy Life, and I'm your reader, Tony Ray, with the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today I'll be reading from Men's Health Magazine, and I'll begin with an article called Healthy Food, Healthier Brain by Drew Ramsky, MD. In my training as a psychiatrist, I'd never been taught to ask my patients what they were eating. When I did finally start, their results were startling, to say the least. People who made even a few small dietary tweaks began feeling better and sometimes were able to decrease the dosage of their medicine. It may seem as if making a couple of adjustments to your diet as an intervention for depression is too good to be true, but think of it this way. The brain is an expensive machine to run. Despite weighing only 3 pounds, the human brain consumes nearly 20% of the calories you eat each day. Its optimal functioning depends upon key nutrients that give it the building blocks and supporting molecules required to back its cells, neurotransmitters, and insulating white matter. That's why assessing nutritious and food choices should be an integral part of treating and preventing mental health disorders. Today, many doctors advocate a more Mediterranean-style diet, and we understand that by focusing on fruits, vegetables, fish, whole grains, and healthy fats, it provides the essential nutrients that support mental health. But instead of pinpointing a specific diet that helps your brain, I prefer to recommend eating more from certain food categories that contain high levels of brain-healthy nutrients. The evidence that eating healthy whole foods is beneficial to your mind is becoming clearer and clearer. More than 60 years ago, studies that looked at the health of people who adopted the Mediterranean way of eating found that it is instrumental in reducing the risk of heart attack and stroke. Later, it was linked to lower rates of dementia and depression. Studies kept mounting, and plenty of data showed that diet matters when it comes to depression and anxiety. But it was hard to definitively argue that with psychiatrists, as they want to be prescribing the dietary changes because there was no gold standard trial, a randomized controlled clinical trial to indicate that. In 2017, scientists from Australia's Food and Mood Center at the Deakin in the University School of Medicine published the first one. This research, done by two leaders in the field of nutritional psychiatry, Felice Jacka and Michael Burke, looked at what happened to 67 people with major depressive disorder, many of whom were already taking medicines and doing talk therapy, over 12 weeks when they received either coaching on eating a Mediterranean-style diet or befriending sessions, social support that provides the sort of connections that tend to be helpful to those with depression. The researchers found that about one-third who received the nutrition coaching saw their depression completely resolve. Since then, other trials have shown that dietary changes can help reduce or even eliminate depressive symptoms. There were so many stunning things that came out of this trial, but I think one of the biggest is that people could improve the diet even though they had clinical depression at the moderate to severe level. When you put it all together, you see that these are extraordinary results showing that a change in your diet has the power to change your mental health. By replacing junk food with those that contain brain-boosting nutrients, you can improve your brain's overall health and function. Ultimately, you, and only you, have the power to decide what you'd like your brain to be made of, and in doing so, put it into the mode of growth, resilience, and health. How to feed your mental health. Foods from groups below, which I will read, contain the important nutrients that feed the good bugs in your gut, reduce inflammation, and put your brain into grow mode, all things that can help with depression and anxiety. Pick the foods you enjoy eating most from these categories and fill up on them. How about leafy greens? Leafy vegetables give you the most bang for your buck when you're talking about nutrient density to calorie ratios. Spinach, kale, arugula, collards, beet greens, and chard are all great for fiber. Vitamin C can counteract free radical damage in brain cells. Vitamin A is linked to the brain's ability to grow and adapt. And folate helps support the creation of new cells. Aim for 1 to 2 packed cups of chopped greens per day. Get more? Blend kale into a smoothie. Add watercress to cheesy scrambled eggs. Rainbow fruits and vegetables. Eating fruits and vegetables of many colors is a smart way to get a range of important plant nutrients, plus fiber for good bugs in your gut to thrive on. The nutrients in purple produce, like eggplants and blueberries, for instance, have amazing anti-inflammatory properties. Orange options have carotenoids for vitamin A. Aim for at least half a cup of rainbow produce at each meal. And get more? Roast them, stir fry them, or use tomatoes and bell peppers as the basis for pasta sauces and stews. Seafood. Seafood helps you get the long-chain omega-3 fatty acids that your brain so desperately needs to stimulate nerve growth factors and dampen inflammation. It also delivers minerals like zinc, iodine, and selenium. Check out bivalves for ample B2. Aim for 2 or 3 seafood meals each week. Get more? Turn mild-tasting fish into tacos. Serve mussels over pasta. Nuts, beans, and seeds. These are rich in brain nutrients, including fiber. Zinc, which helps regulate brain signaling and adaptations, and iron, important in building a protein in red blood cells that helps transport oxygen from the lungs to the brain. they offer a nice mix of healthy fats and protein. Aim for at least a small handful of nuts, beans, or seeds every day. Get more? Add walnuts into morning smoothie. Throw red or black beans into your favorite soups or stews. Not done yet. Meat. As a former vegetarian, I understand that many of us feel conflicted about eating meat. Some people won't ever do so, and that's fine. That said, meat is a remarkable source of iron, protein, and vitamin B12, which is central to your production of your mood-regulating chemicals, serotonin, norepinephrine, and dopamine. Aim for 3 servings per week, but not required. Get the right stuff. Grass-fed beef has fewer calories and better fats for your brain than meat than grain-fed cows does. Last, eggs and dairy. Eggs have protein, B vitamins, which help regulate brain chemicals, and choline, a cousin to a certain B vitamins that has been linked to fewer anxiety symptoms. Fermented dairy products like yogurt and kefir are full of good bacteria. Aim for 5 to 7 eggs and 3 to 5 servings of dairy a week. Whip up vegetable frittata. Crack open a yogurt for an afternoon snack. This article was adapted from the book Eat to Beat Depression and Anxiety by Drew Ramsey, MD. It was copyrighted in 2021. How I Keep It Together, a story by Zuri Murrell, MD. People on the street in Los Angeles sometimes shout, "Hey anus, hey rectum," when they see Dr. Murrell. That's music to his ears of the director of the Cedars-Sinai Colorectal Cancer Center, a top oncology hospital, because in a PSA about the #2 killer cancer, he urges everyone to overcome their fear about talking about their butts. Here's how the surgeon stays upbeat. On Monday, audit happiness. Dr. Murrell saw a therapist several years ago who told him to list what makes him happy. It led to deep reflection and pushed him to open a private practice closer to his home where he could see patients Mondays and Wednesdays. It also enabled him to spend more time with his wife and 2 daughters. It's an exercise he does a couple times a year to check in with his soul. On Tuesday, trust rituals. Dr. Murrell goes to Cedars-Sinai Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, and on days he is performing surgery, he follows a ritual at home. He says, "Wish me luck," and his wife and kids say, "You don't need luck, Dad. You've got skills." "I'm a little superstitious. I've been doing that for 10 years. And then he'll listen to the Calm app on his 90-minute commute to help control all nervous energies. On Wednesdays, be more emo. Dr. Murrell says he used to take pride in working late, and after his happiness audit, he changed that and began doing more with his family. Beyond being physically present, he's found emotional connection points. And with his daughters, he's exercising, cooking, and watching shows. On Thursdays, he taps empathy. After he does a colonoscopy that revealed a polyp when he was 42, or after he had a colonoscopy when he was 42, Dr. Murrell says he understood his patient's nervousness better. Before operating, he does a positive meditation with each patient. I'll hold their hand and say, "It's normal to be nervous, but it's going to be okay. I'm going to do everything in my power to get you through this. You will come out better." This also helps him focus. On Friday, it's empower others. Although performing surgery is a huge part of his job, Dr. Murrell says he gains as much satisfaction from empowering his patients, especially those who typically never ask questions or are uncomfortable with doctors. It's not their job to be easy patients, he says. They need to come prepared and ask for what they want. That leads to deeper connection and better outcomes. And on Saturday, go out. To banish stress and stay in shape, Dr. Morell kickboxes, swims, or does hot yoga. He also has a standing date with his wife, also a surgeon. Having a date night is good because we used to only do it if we had plans. This forces us to still do something, even if we just drive somewhere and walk around. It's still important to do that. And on Sunday, give your time. Doing volunteer work renews Dr. Morell's spirit. He visits inner city churches and speaks to the congregation about overcoming fear and embarrassment related to colon cancer. He has everyone say anus and rectum to break the ice. And then he stresses the importance of colonoscopies and early detection to catch polyps before they turn cancerous. He ends by saying, I never want to do a colon cancer surgery again. Protein, but better. Call it a great protein flavor recession. Over the past few decades, something's happened to grocery stores, beef, chicken, and fish. It started to all taste the same. The main culprit? Industrial farms producing bland meat and giving animal protein a bad name. No wonder plant-based meat took off. But now smaller scale farms are raising this is how it should be, it's how it should taste the animal proteins, while also enhancing these nutritiousness of their products. Better still, you can have them shipped to you. Here's just three of the many producers offering the good stuff, plus how to cook it right. This story is by A.C. Shilton and Paul Keita. Regenerative Ranching Underdog. MLB star Adam LaRoche and his business partner have built a forward-thinking farm to bring you MVP steak. There's one big reason the meat you eat at a steakhouse tastes sublime. Sourcing. Steakhouse owners know that delivering a tender, juicy, belly patting ribeye or tomahawk or, you know, starts not in the kitchen but on the cattle ranch. Enter Adam LaRoche. When he retired from baseball in 2016, he found himself with plenty of two things, land and time. LaRoche had opened a steakhouse back in 2013 and owned a 4,000-acre ranch in Fort Scott, Kansas. He had big dreams of raising cattle better that would help supply the steakhouse and sustain his family for generations to come. And so, with his business partner, rancher Jake Gross, he co-founded E3 Meat Co. LaRoche and Gross began looking at the dirt. Healthy dirt makes healthy grass, which makes healthy cattle, which makes healthy meat, which makes healthy people, says Gross. Their first change was to introduce paddock grazing, in which the cattle eat only choice grasses. Yes, they can discern a difference, rather than consuming all the grass, which is tough on the soil. And poor soil demands chemical fertilizers and herbicides. The ranch also has implemented low-stress cattle management practices, raising the animals without using steroids or antibiotics, and never added hormones. The result? Luscious marble cuts of deeply beefy steak. While grass-fed is trendy, E3 grain finishes its beef. That means the flavor is familiar, powerfully hearty, and almost buttery, yet elevated, like a chop you're used to having at a steakhouse, only enjoyed at home. Pastured poultry is the future. That's due to its supreme taste, nutrients, and ability to help small farmers grow. If you've been unimpressed with organic or free-range supermarket chicken, paying a few more bucks more for a still bland bird, Cody Hopkins says, gets it. When he started his small farm in Arkansas in 26, he bought a few chickens to raise for meat, largely because, well, they were cheap. Counter to the way most industrial farm chickens are raised, crowded together in a warehouse-like buildings and given feed, Hopkins put the chickens in a portable pen. He moved the pens every few days so the birds could peck fresh grass and clover. This simple act infused their meat with bold, almost floral flavors. There's a big difference between our chickens and the ones raised in a chicken house. Those chickens will never see the light of day, he says. Free range, just means the birds can go outside. Not that they actually do go outside. And due to their diet, pasture-raised chickens have higher levels of good polyunsaturated fats when compared to conventionally raised chickens, according to a 2018 research by the Institute of Animal Science in Bulgaria. Though Hopkins had exceptional chickens, he couldn't find a processing plant that was willing to work with his small outfit. And in the U.S., 18 large corporate farming operations, including Tyson, Purdue, and Pilgrim's Pride, control an estimate 90% of the meat chicken industry, and these companies often offer their own processing facilities. So Hopkins and other like-minded farmers partnered with the nonprofit Herford International to start Grassroots Farmers Cooperative, a coalition that shares processing resources. The group, founded in 2014, is now run out of 24 farms in 8 states and ships nationwide. In pasture-raised chicken, a bestseller. And the last one is this farm, salmon, is a very good thing. It's fattier, which means more benefits for your health and taste buds. You've heard all about the studies. People who eat fish rich in omega-3 fatty acids may reduce their risk of stroke and heart failure, Alzheimer's disease, and even depression. Yet Americans are still consuming only about 1/3 of the weekly recommendation of 8 ounces of fish and shellfish. But the fish farmers behind the company New Zealand King Salmon are raising a salmon so delicious that it is hard not to want to eat more of it, and it's all due to fat. After cultivating 9 generations of fish, the company has managed to produce a salmon that has a fat content of 25%, says Michael Fabo, vice president of New Zealand King Salmon's North American operation. If you were to compare that with wild salmon, it would be between 12 and 15% fat. And the fattier the fish, the greater the amounts of DHA and EPA, 2 omega-3 fatty acids beneficial to your health and brain. To raise its salmon, the company enjoys field-size net pens that are 98% water and 2% fish. At that density level, the waste is naturally composted by the organisms on the seabed. It doesn't build up, Fabo says. This method works incredibly well. In fact, Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch rates New Zealand salmon raised in open water net pens a best choice for sustainability. That's even better than wild-caught salmon from the U.S. and Canada. And you can order that from New Zealand King Salmon under the brand name Ora King Salmon. The trading company at brownnettrading.com. Well, I would like to give you a recipe for laughter. The ability to laugh easily and often is seriously good medicine. This comes from Personal Best. Laughter appears to strengthen immunity and cardiovascular health, improve attitude, memory, and ease pain and distressing emotion. What's the connection? Laughter contracts and relaxes the muscles in your shoulders, abdomen, and diaphragm, helping relieve physical and mental tension. Your breathing increases the oxygen flow to your lungs, which in turn can increase blood flow and decrease blood pressure and heart rate. Studies suggest that laughter may reduce the damaging effects of stress by lowering the stress hormones cortisol and adrenaline. Laughing also triggers the release of endorphins, your body's feel-good chemical. But where do I find more humor? Build friendships with people who make you see the silly side of life. Enjoy your favorite comics or watch a funny movie. Hang funny posters in your office or kitchen. And choose a computer screensaver that makes you chuckle. Spend time with pets who delight you and make you smile. And laugh often to improve your mood and outlook. And remember to laugh and smile every day. Hopefully you'll find that the more laughter you have in your life, the healthier your life. Margaret Mead said, "Always remember that you are absolutely unique, just like everyone else." Well, that's all the time we have for today. This has been Tony Ray with Healthy Life. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, USA Today, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 3.
This is a Recording Library of West Texas Community Update.
The Life Center has scheduled